This is the sixth day of the August 2016 7-day retreat in Springwater. This morning I walked up to the pond again, sat in the chair under the oak tree where Eben and the orange cat used to sit. And 3 or 4 days ago, the bullfrogs were croaking away, singing their song. Quite a racket, really. Yesterday, the crows were in the trees beside the pond. I don't know how many, but many, making a racket. Interestingly, the bullfrogs were quiet. So today, walking up fairly early after breakfast, sun was out, the ground was still wet from the dew, and one of those summer mornings where the cool night is giving way to the very warm day. Still cool walking in the shade and very warm in the sun. But sitting on the bench, looking at the pond and the cattails, and practically a mirror still pond reflecting the cattails in the trees near the pond and the sky. Bullfrogs were almost totally silent, a croak here and there. One lone crow was calling across the meadow, quite a ways away. Everything's still, quiet. The sound just sounds. The mind quiet. Words just come out, listening, talking. Nothing needs to be done. Several times this week, I'm sure I've mentioned it in talks or in the group, and it's come up from other people. It's what we call compassion. in India, Avalokiteshvara, in China, Kuan Yin, in Japan, Kanon, all incarnations are symbols of the Bodhisattva of compassion. Represented sometimes as a male, sometimes as a female, maybe sometimes neither. The one I'm most familiar with is a statue where probably a Japanese Kanon, where she's holding or maybe even pouring water or something. Supposedly the water of compassion pouring onto the world. And that brings up a little story I heard a long time ago about a Zen, famous Zen monk. It may have been Bodhidharma, I'm not sure. One of the early Chinese Zen monks. And apparently at the time it was the custom for wealthy people or royalty to go around and visit famous Buddhist monks and to support various Buddhist villages, churches, whatever they're called, temples. And so this, I don't remember whether it was an emperor or a wealthy merchant, but we'll say it was Bodhidharma. He comes a long way to visit this famous Zen monk, and he says, I spent my whole life giving donations and assistance to all these Buddhist temples. What merit have I earned? And Bodhidharma says, none whatsoever. And it reminds me of not 1500 years ago, but today, when we use the word compassion. Generally, people aren't looking for merit, but maybe they're looking for recognition or whatever, legacy. So people with means will frequently set up a foundation. They'll see somewhere in India or Africa how people are suffering, or even right here in this country. And they'll give resources, money, time, whatever, to help with the suffering. And people will say, well, that's a very compassionate person. Or even on a much simpler level, we might be walking down the street in the city where we live and see poverty, suffering, homeless. And want to do something about it. So we give money, we give time. And maybe somebody recognizes us as being very compassionate, maybe taking time off from our family to volunteer. So is this real compassion? And let me be clear that I'm not condemning any of these kind of actions whatsoever. I'm just looking into the question of compassion and how we frequently use it and whether that is true compassion. Or is there such a thing as true compassion? Is it just a word that we use to describe these kind of activities? I actually looked it up online, in online dictionary or Wikipedia, and I don't remember word for word what it said, but something about alleviating the suffering of others. So we see people suffering and we want to help them. Well, I don't think we can say whether somebody that goes to that sets up a foundation and donates lots of money to help some cause, or somebody donates time in the local food kitchen or whatever. We can't really say if that's compassion. So let's look a little below the surface, maybe a little into this still pond. And see if there's anything there that we call compassion. I have to admit that in the beginning of my meditation practice, and by beginning, I mean maybe the first 10 or 15 years, compassion was never an issue. I think I felt, like most people, that it's something you do for people that are suffering. That's compassion. And then I came to a retreat here 1 year, I don't know exactly when it was, but they were. It was here in Springwater, and I remember the group. We were having group dialogues, and it was taking place in this room. And it was very unusual in that the group dialogue went on for maybe 3 or 4 days on the subject of compassion. And I certainly don't recall hardly anything about what was talked about. But after that, there was definitely an awareness sort of becoming visible of what is this thing we call compassion. And it's still there. So how do we look at this? Well, after that retreat, I know that that question became, along with a few other questions, became sort of part of my meditation. And memory doesn't really work well here. I can't remember, you know, what happened this year, that year. But I can only say what is seen right here, sitting on this chair, in this quiet room. And I want to relate something that I think I brought up in a talk maybe a year or two ago. And there was on the West Bulletin Board by the Medicine Cabinet, somebody had posted a very early talk that Tony had given at the Zen Center when she was still giving talks at the Zen Center. Apparently it was published in the Zen Center newsletter, but I didn't recall it and didn't remember ever reading it. It was just a short article, maybe a page and a half. So I took a look at it during retreat. And one thing really stood out that she said. And she was talking specifically about a statue of Kanon at the Zen Center. I remember this statue. It was almost life-size, maybe half life-size. A very beautiful statue. And it was off in a little room next to the sitting room. And there was sort of this, I don't know what to call it, but when you were really sort of desperate in need, you would go to this little room, or you could, and ask Kanon for help. Ask the Bodhisattva of compassion for help. And in the article, Tony said at one point, Kanon has nothing to give. Kanon has nothing to give. What does that mean? Here's Kanon, the Bodhisattva of compassion. You're asking for help. And Tony says, Kanon has nothing to give. It sounds like a real mystery. So if we look at that, the first thing maybe comes up is, what is Kanon? What is the Bodhisattva of compassion? Is it some image of a god or a goddess statue that we pray to almost, or beg for some assistance? Or if we look closely, when things are quiet and still, how can there be me and other? How can there be some god or goddess out there? How can there be me? What is here, right here? And whenever I look at this or give a talk, it gets very emotional for me. And I was speaking to somebody earlier in retreat about emotions. Are emotions different from thoughts? And there seems to be certain emotions that come up that maybe aren't associated with thought or with self. I don't know for sure. But in looking in this still pond, with hardly a ripple, what's there? We talked about awareness, the stillness, intelligence. Somebody said wisdom. But there's this everything, can't even say everything. Compassion is awareness. This still, quiet place is pouring compassion into the universe. And it doesn't belong to me or you. So, why isn't this always visible? It's so close. And in a retreat, in the quiet, the stillness, see what's there. And it doesn't involve others. It doesn't really even involve suffering. It's just there. And it operates without any intention whatsoever. It just somehow works. So, Kanon has nothing to give. Who would it be given to? Who would give it? And it doesn't take so-called suffering of others for compassion to operate. One of the, I can't remember whether it's part of the Eightfold Path or the Four Noble Truths in Buddhism, but one of them is right action. What is right action? Right action is compassion. Requiring no thoughts about how do I do right action, or how do I do compassionate deeds. Because it's only possible when we're not even there. And this isn't something that you need to believe, read about, hear about, and decide you're going to be compassionate now. It's something that has to be seen. And can be seen. Or can it? So we'll stop here.